All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. We've got a cool episode for you today. It is primarily the recordings I did when I was at Shine On Festival last month. So not a huge amount about Oasis, to be honest, but I hope you guys enjoy it. We've got three primary interviews, one with a new, very cool Scottish band called Vida. One with Pete McLeod, who's a friend of the show, and also I caught up with Nick from the Britpop Revival show, so there's all that stuff, and also I'll drop in what also happened, because I had a run-in with an important person in the Oasis story that I'll tell you about in a bit. But first, let's quickly catch up with the Oasis news. There hasn't been a huge amount because we're in this sort of downtime leading up to Christmas. Just to say, I'll probably put another episode out, sort of Christmas-related episode, before the end of the year. So if you would like to get in touch, send me a message. Tell me how brilliant the podcast is and how it's the best thing in your life. Then do feel free to send an audio message over to oasispod@gmail.com. And I would love to hear from you. And if we get some of those messages, we will play them on the sort of end of the year Christmas episode show. So, yeah, it would be good to hear from you. But, yes, in Oasis news, the big thing was Liam did this live show at Union Chapel for the homeless charity Shelter. Yeah, it was an interesting setup. It was kind of like an acoustic-y setup, but with a full band. And, yeah, and he did a full set. So it wasn't just like a 40 minutes, it was a full sort of set split into two parts. And some of the tracks that he played a few times in the show, in the shows last year, like I'm Out of Time, that had sort of come in and been dropped. But the biggest thing for me was the two songs that he played for the first time, one of which was Never Wanna Be Like You. So we'll have a bit of that here. Also, I suppose most significantly was the fact he played Cast No Shadow for the first time. Now, he talked about it on Twitter a few days before that he would play it, but you never know with Twitter whether he will end up doing it, but he did. And so it was fantastic to hear Cast No Shadow. Let's have a bit of that.
Here's a thought for every man who tries to understand what's in his hands. What's He walks along the open road of love and light, surviving if he can. Finding all the weight of all the words he tried to say, chasing all the places that he never wished. trying to say? And as he faced the sun, he cast no shadow. As they took his soul, they stole his pride. As they took his soul, they stole his pride.
Now, when he said he was going to play Cast No Shadow, my biggest concern was that the backing vocals in that song are so prominent and are such an important part of the song. So how do you do that without Noel? You know, is someone else from his band going to step up and start doing it? And those people in the band do backing vocals, but they're not particularly prominent. It's just kind of in the background. Whereas actually what tends to happen is the crowd end up becoming Noel. And there's something quite nice about that, that it's like, Noel's not there, but we can take his place for you, Liam, which is just a nice way to do it. So yeah, the people at Union Chapel, well done. You were Noel for that moment. Quite interesting. I was reading through a few people that went along. It was one of those where it was like a ballot, random ballot to get tickets. I did apply and didn't get them. A few people were quite negative, actually, about Liam's performance, that he was grumbling about the sound, which he does quite a bit, to be fair, that he didn't really talk to the audience at all. He didn't mention the charity. He just sort of came on, did the songs and left, which I thought was quite interesting. You would have thought maybe with having had a break of a couple of months that he'd have been a bit more of a holiday spirit about him, but apparently not. But, you know, I think that some other people that were there said it was absolutely incredible. I think if you know that you're likely to not get much from Liam and you just go along and just enjoy the show, then and just, you know, be basking in the presence of the guy, then that will make up for a lack of crowd work in the sort of as you expect from most performers. In other news, the announcement was made for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to be announced in 2019. If you remember earlier in the year, this had come up. I think I actually even mentioned it on the phone to Tony McCarroll, I think, about, you know, that it was coming up. And so were Oasis going to be nominated? Because to basically get in, your debut release had to be 25 years ago, which, you know, 1994 to 2019 it is now. But they're not on the list. Def Leppard are, and Janet Jackson is, and the Zombies are, but no sign of Oasis. Now, I don't know whether or not they were approached and turned it down, or whether they didn't make the ballot, or whether Noel didn't want to do it, but Liam did. No idea. But anyway, they're not on the list, so that puts that to bed for now. Remains to be seen whether they will turn up at some point. Really good radio show for you guys to check out. Alan McGee does a show on Boogaloo Radio, which ends up on Mixcloud. And he interviewed Debbie Turner, which is now Debbie Ellis, but she was from the band Sister Lovers. Now, that name should ring a bell for you, not only because there's an Oasis song called My Sister Lover named after their band, but also because they were the ones that brought Oasis up to Glasgow to play at King Tut's on that fateful day in 1993. Alan McGee interviewed her for his radio show, and it's really good. It's really worth listening to. I'll drop a little clip in here, but make sure you head over to the link in the description of the episode and check out the whole thing, because they really go into it. The early day, like late 80s, early 90s, how that all came about, including that, probably the most in-depth I've ever heard McGee talk about that trip up to see Oasis, and the conspiracy theories around whether or not it's all a lot of rubbish.
And then I remember being up for Sugar about 92 in Manchester,
yeah,
at the boardwalk, and like you and me were hanging out, and you said, oh, do you want a joint? And I went, no, really, but I'll come and watch you smoke one, right? Yeah. And we went down to this rehearsal studio,
yeah,
and lo and behold, in the corner, and I only pieced this together way after the event, right? But there's this Union Jack on the wall.
Yeah.
And I said to you, Oasis, who is that? Are they fascists? And you went, yeah.
Yeah.
And I dismissed it. I went, right, okay, like, that was it. So it's like, so I never thought any more about that. And well, it was years later, I went, she actually showed me that.
I can actually remember that time when we were down in the practice room and you were sat at the Oasis drum kit, which is mental, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember you talking about them and asking about the flag, and it was like they used to have the Union Jack flag up, and at the time, like we were quite offended by it. We were just like, you know, to us it was like sort of NF. I mean, it was NF, you know. It was like we didn't think of it in a mod capacity, which is why it was there, obviously. And so me and Lorraine just used to rip it down every time we went in, and the next time we'd go in to rehearse, it'd be back up. And in the end, they ended up like painting one on the wall. They got so sick of it. But it was just, you know, it's a joke between us, really.
In Noel news, it's relatively quiet. Oh, one thing, he's apparently selling his house and is struggling to. He's had to knock a couple of million off the asking price. So if it's still about 7 million or something. So if you've got a few quid, then you could always buy Noel's house. But the biggest thing, I suppose, is the Noel's Noel happened earlier this week with Steve Lamacq. Where he goes on Six Music and chooses some tunes and has a chat with Steve. So that he did that again, so let's have a little bit of that.
Romeo Void, for starters, then couldn't be more new wave. Well, I don't know what it makes it new wave.
I pride myself on having a pretty in-depth knowledge of most things musically. But we went, me, Sarah and the kids went on holiday in the summer. We went to California for 3 weeks. Sarah was doing the driving.
Right.
I was doing the navigating, which is, if you know, you got Google Maps, and when you're in America, the directions are this. In 177 miles, take the next left. So, but we did spend a lot of time listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that Hotel California gets played a lot on American radio, as does The Eye of the Tiger by whoever sang that.
Survivor.
Tune. Survivor. Bruce Springsteen's coining it off American radio. But this tune come on, and I'd never heard it. And we were kind of looking at each other going, who's this? So the beauty of Shazam, we kind of Shazammed it. It's like, Romeo Void, I've never heard of him. And yeah, so we get to wherever we were going, 176 miles later, and kind of download it. And I was like, wow, that's an amazing tune. I don't really know a great deal about it. As you've come to know down the years, I don't know a great deal about the music that I listen to. I just like it, you know.
Yeah.
But is it like 1980 or 79?
Late 70s, I think. Is very really? Late. So 79, I think. San Francisco, 79. I looked them up. Vests. All the blokes wear vests, sleeveless
that's
t-shirts.
That's girl singer, though, right?
Girl singer.
Well, do you know the thing is, though, with that stuff from like 79, 80 sounds like it could be recorded yesterday, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It must be heavily influential for modern indie music, I suppose. It sounds like it could be. Not that I know anything about the 1975. Is that what they sound like?
I don't know much about the 1975. Yeah. Listen to us, that newfangled new music.
And just finally, before we get into the Shine On stuff, just need to give a shout out to a few people. So the Spotify Unwrapped came up the week or so ago. So if you have Spotify, it comes up around this time of year and tells you who have been your top artists, how much time have you spent listening to them. And I was seeing some people showing off how much time they'd spent listening to Oasis on Spotify. And I saw sort of some people coming up. So we saw a pretty strong top three, which was at RyanW940_ did 538 hours. At SmithyTom97 had done 561 hours. At 1872 Ewan had done 574 hours. But the winner was Daniel Tauris, who is at DJ_PStar, 974 hours listening to Oasis. That's unbelievable. I actually went in and sort of did the maths on that, and it's almost 3 hours a day on average listening to Oasis. That's insane. I don't listen to Oasis that much. I don't think even in 1997 I listened to Oasis that much. But yeah, remarkable that, you know, that is a level of dedication. Average of 3 hours a day. Wow, well done, Daniel, you nutcase. Right, I think that will do it. We will crack on with the story of this year's Shine On Festival. All right, so I'm here in a random, like, Butlin's... I couldn't find this place as well. I was wandering around trying to find you guys. They don't make it easy, do they? Benny, I'm here with Vida. How you doing, boys?
Hi, all good, man.
Good. So you just played the In On The Green,
yeah,
which was quality. So this is Jamie Lead singer. So how was the how was it? How'd you find it?
Brilliant, aye. Great reception, like.
Yeah.
Good turnout. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was pleased for you guys because like I've followed you online for a bit and I was thinking 12:30 and you were supposed to be on the main stage as well, right? What was because you wanted?
You can speak to Nathan about that.
I get limited holidays at my work and I didn't end up having the Friday and we got told we could play the main stage Friday, so I asked them if we could change it. I tried to get holidays, couldn't get them, and then I asked if we could change it, so we got the Saturday. But that venue that we played in was absolutely amazing. So
it was good.
The both of them would have been great. The main stage would have been far better, but take what you can get.
Exactly. And what it was, because it's like a nice little pub atmosphere. It was busy. Exactly. And
smaller gigs are always better.
And people went on their heads, and there's a few people singing along, so quite a few people knew the tunes as well.
Especially so at an really early slot, I think a lot of the time, like, you'd hope to be later on so that people are, like, you know, well boozed up, they can dance a bit, but they were still loving it.
Yeah.
Probably still boozed for last night.
Yeah, cool.
It filled it pretty well. It was a good atmosphere. I really enjoyed it.
A lot of your gigs, like, the atmosphere builds, and we like that sort of high energy, but we can also create a wee bit of, like, quite intimate, like, I don't know, like, it was a nice crowd. I thought they reacted quite well.
Well, I thought a very cool move that you did was to say, guys, step forward. Because that was great, because you do, like, because I was in a band, like, back in the late 90s, right? And then I was just a bit of a mouthy bastard on stage. And so I would just say, like, come on, dance, you lazy bastard. And it is just a case of geeing people up to do that. So I thought it was really good, because everyone did step forwards. Otherwise, you just end up with this weird, like, semicircle.
They feel like they need to keep a distance, but in a way, but then they listen to what Jamie's got to say, they listen to him the most, and they'll do what he says, pretty much. Yeah. But obviously, he's not. They're all zoned in and probably in a way they're like, yes, let's get closer, you know what I mean? And then when they came into us, we prefer folk right in their face. You want to make eye contact with folk and see that they're enjoying themselves. And for an early slot, I think they were. A couple of folk dancing about, probably having they slept for last night. but they still had plenty of energy. So it was good, man.
Well, it's cool, and it's good to have, because these sort of weekenders like this, it is mainly about the older bands, and it's about old geezers in their, like, 40s coming down and sort of having a, you know, dance around to Ocean Colour Scene. But I think it's really cool that they do put on young bands. And you guys are leading the charge with that. So is it something that when you've, like, you guys growing up and, like, writing songs, is it very much, are you thinking about the 90s sort of bands? Is that sort of a big frame of reference for you?
At times,
probably the way that we're actually playing as musicians, like, automatically that side of music comes to us naturally.
Yeah, like, that era, so.
Playing drum-wise, the beats that I play suit that, and then they're playing music that also suits it.
Yeah.
So it comes natural to us.
Yeah.
What did you come for? What did you see in those eyes? What did you come for? And all the deceit in those lies that you said to me, it's never easy as it seems. And all those childhood dreams, they fade away.
because I've always thought it's funny as a Scottish band, but I've always put you more in the like the Liverpool tradition,
yeah.
Right? Of like the Lars and the choral, and I can really hear like, that.
Really,
definitely.
Yeah.
Is that something?
Love
that
like music.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's because it feels like I don't know, but it feels like it's a acoustic written songs, and then you guys will flesh out the sound, and that's it.
Originates on acoustic guitar, and we build it.
Occasionally, Nathan will write a song on the electric, which is wrote on the electric, but most of your songs are wrote. So that back, like it's 3 o'clock in the morning, having a party, big sing song. Can I
perfect.
Choose a song? That's what we're.
Last night.
Last night.
Right, we did a bit of that.
But yeah, sing song last night.
So what was it? Did you guys stay here? Did you see Shed 7 and Sleeper and stuff last night? How were they?
Class, man. Brilliant. Shed 7 were amazing.
Amazing, like a couple of spot on.
You guys come down early, but we didn't get down here till the back of 11, eh?
Aye, those two came down in the car. Aye, me and
Greg got here early.
The two that you can hear.
we got down here early, but as you know, Nathan didn't get a day off work, so they left about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so they got here at about midnight.
Greg had won the lottery by the time we got here.
They won 5,000.
Explain yourself.
Go on.
Get the photo. I'm just a winner when I was checking dinner.
he won 5,000 tickets out of one of the machines.
Oh, okay. Tickets, not 5,000 quid. So you're right.
Well, we'll see.
He's probably going to get a packet of Haribo's.
Back to Butlins.
Butlins keychain. It'll be a good firm handshake.
And so you've got you guys hanging around today. You've got Ocean Colour Scene, you've got Black Grape, you've got some cool bands coming up.
The Rifles as well, man.
Oh,
the Rifles. First time I've ever seen them, so I'm looking forward to it, man.
Is it? Fair play. And this is the Oasis podcast. So as you know, were Oasis a big... That's probably a stupid question, right? But like, were Oasis a big band for you guys growing up?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Me,
but you were just saying that you didn't get to see them live. Well, you could have got to see them live, is that?
We got offered tickets since I was at school, at high school, and I turned it down because I'd play band practice.
Say that again?
It was band practice.
Oh, no, okay, so not proper band,
right? No, proper bagpipes, eh? So I used to play with them, and I turned it down because I'd practice, so...
Commitment.
I just love music, but I'll get to see them again, hopefully, maybe.
What? I don't think so.
Definitely, maybe.
I don't think so. It's not happening. Definitely. So, yeah, I caught that one. I was just going to let it go.
I'm a funny boy.
So what about in terms of, like, have you guys seen Liam as well and Noel in the recent tours and stuff?
I've seen Liam a few times in Berlin, actually.
We played Electric Fields couple of months back, opened the stage up then at night. No, in fact, no headlined on the Friday night, and then we were first band on Saturday morning.
So wait, which one was that? Electric Fields? Was that in Milan?
No.
Dumfries, okay.
Similar weather conditions.
Yeah, they're interchangeable, aren't they?
Different end of the spectrum, like that.
Yeah. So you got to see, so that's the funny thing. I wonder, because there's a couple of those festivals happened last summer where it was like, Noel was playing on a Friday, Liam on a Saturday, and it was like, I wonder if they were like passing each other going in and out, like, so how was, did you didn't like, so you were obviously all chilling backstage with Noel and Liam, I take it, yeah?
He didn't come to speak to us, so...
obviously we were playing the main stage, we had... all access, you know, like AAA. We had the passes, and we went to the stage to try and get there, at least get side stage or something like that. But I think you got there.
Yeah, we got there.
Me and Jamie were right up the front trying to get in. They were like, nah, he doesn't want anyone in at all. Like, he wants it to be quiet.
Really?
Don't know if that's just to get
in the room. We got to the stage, and the security said to us, no, you can't get back because Noel's here. Like any other band, you'd better get backstage because Noel's there, security is really like strict.
Really?
The mighty eye.
He doesn't want to be photographed at all, people. Don't put that in, that's coming for you. I'm not a lawyer.
I heard you guys were up for the support slot, but that's gone now, boys. But you know, Twisted Wheel are on later, and Johnny, I don't know if you know
Johnny.
But he's he's good mates, and he supported Liam at Finsbury Park, so you never know.
We went to Finsbury Park, and then we flew up in the morning on Saturday, went to Transmit and seen Liam as well, so it was 2 days back to back. It was brilliant, like
you're just harassing him, chasing after him.
I just kept on going, just going for to have a good crack with Liam, eh?
Yeah.
You gotta see.
So you've done a couple of EPs so far, but when are we going to hear an album from you guys?
We're going to record an album. Well, we're going to demo an album like next year, for like the first half of next year, in our own studio. We've got a home studio.
Oh, cool.
Down at the practice room. So we're going to do that. We've got a big gig in Edinburgh in February, and then we've got some gigs in Holland in March. And we basically use the money for that, and then going to hopefully get a label and stuff like that, and just take it for there.
Cool. Cool, good. It's pretty tough. I do feel for you guys. I mean, the great thing about like the modern world, right, versus these bands that came through in the 90s is that, you know, like Shed 7 and Sleeper and whoever, were getting like these big sign-on checks, and because people were selling millions of CDs. But the difference is you had those top players that were getting that, and then you had people, and it was a big drop if you didn't have that. And I was playing in a band in the late 90s, and so it was like, you know, there was no way of generating a... You know, because there was no internet, right? So it was just starting out. Whereas at least you guys, because you've got that, there's no one getting checks like, you know, Liam Gallagher might get a big check to sign with Warner Brothers, but you haven't got that same thing of like 5-10 bands a year getting that big check.
We've got nobody, we do this ourselves.
Really?
No management, no label, we've just got the five of us, we've got six of us. Really, well, seven new Jacobs here. we've got the five of us and the two of the roadies, and just go for it, just hit the miles, chat on the doors, and just hopefully somebody answers.
What, are you just emailing venues and emailing people? And I suppose you've got.
No, they come to us, really. They always come to us. We've put our name out there, and you know the message has been spread.
We can sort of pick and choose now because it's at the point where these decisions we make are important. You know what I mean? We need to have a purpose for these
things.
We're here because. Obviously, great opportunity for us, and like you said earlier about the sort of older generation is here, they're into that music as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They dig it, younger generation like it, so we're capturing an audience a lot of different variety.
Yeah.
And you get that in the music as well, because it's not like all the same sort of, you know what I mean? Like, there's a band sound in there, I think, that's going about, just like this sound that you hear loads of bands doing. A wee bit different, I think, just a slight bit different that folk maybe turn their head and go, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's classic, kind of traditional songwriting and classic rock and roll and Britpop. Classic. Yeah, it's a Britpop sound, but then that goes back to, you know, I think there was that kind of spiky sort of off-kilter kind of, well, it's Strokes, but Strokes is even almost 20 years ago now. You know what I mean? But like, that was kind of the big thing. Whereas I do feel there's, you know, like a bit more of a, well, you could call it a Britpop revival, but it's been going on for like 3-4 years, but it's never kind of bubbled up to the surface. It's still just been... these bands coming through, but there's enough people. I mean, you can see it from something like this. It's just people taking a chance on not just going to see Shed 7 and Ocean Colour seeing their reunion tours, but actually coming out and seeing you guys.
It's mainly the mainstream platforms. As soon as you get up to that level, that's when you'll start getting to everybody, and that's when everybody will start selling out arenas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it just needs to get back to that. I think it is. Yeah. Music goes around in circles.
Yeah, yeah,
so you always get like techno and a kind of more digital sound that comes back to the original kind of guitar bands. So hopefully we're riding that wave.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's what we're wanting.
I mean, I heard the Sherlock's got, like on Radio 1 Breakfast Show a couple of months ago. I played with the guys, they're good lads. But I don't... You know, I think you're a better band than the Sherlocks, to be honest. They're a good band. They're good in that kind of Rifles sort of tradition, right? Yeah. That very modish kind of tradition. But I think you guys there's an extra level to the songwriting that's sort of maybe a little bit ahead of that. But I was like,
appreciate that.
Sherlock's on Radio 1. You know what I mean? I think there's enough people that want to promote those bands into it. It's just getting that step, isn't it?
Going to all the towns and playing all the venues, getting people through the door. They've
done really well to get where they are. I mean, they've smashed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We just need to kind of keep going and keep going until I get to the point where they're like, we can't know. You know what I mean? They can't. They, we're doing so well, and we're pumping out all these songs, and we're getting a great reaction to them. They're like, we need to do something here because it's there.
We're not far from that. I think we're not far from that point. What they done was they basically toured the country and to the point where a label couldn't ignore them. Got signed and they had the music there ready to release an album. We've got the music ready to release an album.
Yeah,
and that's why I mean by getting them one album and hopefully we can release
that
album
as well. We're not going to do this whole put out eight singles and then they're all an album. You're going to be putting out
three songs.
We've got the songs we've already released.
We've got the facilities there to really try and make a decent. So, you know, like a proper album that you just put from start to finish, and it just goes like by like that.
As well as that, I think we want to get a lot of these tunes out because we're constantly coming up with stuff, and it's like, oh shit, like it's just like a bigger and bigger pile of stuff. Like we want to get it out as soon as possible. You know, like smash it.
Get the wave.
Next batch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can do it and get it out in time for then playing it at the festival season, I suppose that's the plan.
Well, if we're happy with the sound and we get it sounding really good, then I will want to go away and release it independently. But we'll just need to wait and see how it goes. But I've got every faith that we're going to produce a cracker.
Good. Well, I'm going to look forward to it. So anyway, I'll let you guys go and enjoy the rest of the day. Oh, we're going to go and try and catch the rifle.
Thanks for your time, James.
Enjoy your weekend.
And we always end interviews with the Oasis song of your choice, which is going to be hard in a room of like eight people. So who wants to make that call and then fight? You know, I suppose maybe a fight to the death to decide.
I'll say Columbia.
Fuck Columbia.
I'll see Shaker Maker.
Alright, so we're going to Little James. Alright, well then the gentleman with the moustache at the back has chosen Little James.
Scottish Bronson.
So Scottish Bronson has chosen Vida. Thank you very much.
Cheers, James.
Little James, we're all the same. To look to us, we were meant to be grown ups. Thank you for your smile, you make it all worthwhile to us. Live for your toys, even though they make noise. Have you ever played with plasticine? Even tried a trampoline? Thank you for your smile.
Hi, this is Nick from the Britpop Revival Show, and
start again. Okay, I'll just keep going. This is James from the Britpop Revival Show.
No, you're not James.
This is Nick from the Britpop Revival Show,
and he's James from the Oasis podcast.
We haven't even been drinking, which is the crazy thing.
We're starting with the outtakes, are we?
Yes, absolutely. This is podcasting, mate. Well,
okay. So we're here at the Shine On Festival in beautiful Minehead in Butlins. James, this is the strangest place you've been to a gig.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a bit bizarre. It is a bit weird, and I it's one of those things that I felt a bit. I didn't know what to expect, really. Because I've not been to a Butlins pub. I've been to like Haven when I was a kid, and I was expecting the main area to be like where you watch the puppet show or whatever, and everyone's sitting around the tables with a bit of a dance floor where they do the bingo. But it's actually really cool. It's set up and you've got this sort of big it's almost like an open air, but it's indoors with the skyline, they call it. So it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, there'll probably be some bingo later if you want.
I hope so. It's all
Britpop bingo. Although there was a Britpop quiz this morning, which you didn't get into, but I have a suspicion that you were actually barred from that event because of your knowledge. Is this correct?
It could possibly be the case. It was really annoying because we got here in time for it, and I really was, because I'm only here for today, and I got there on time for it. Really wanted to take part, and because I'm a quiz. I love quizzes. I don't like to talk about it, but I was on Mastermind a few years ago, and so I love quizzes, and I thought, yeah, I could go and win this. Especially I thought you might be there and we could really team up. But then basically it was like an online sort of system thing, and they said, all right, if you haven't like signed up for this online system thing, then you're too late. I was gutted. It's gutted. No. And I'm never listening to Shed 7 again. Because Alan from Shed 7 was running.
And I bet you knew all the answers, didn't you, mate?
I knew most of them, to be fair. Like, there was a couple of slightly tricky ones. And then I was ended up kind of looking over people's shoulders and like, prodding them. And sort of, I thought, no, I can't have this. So I left in a bit of a huff and just in time to go and see Vida, which I was really pleased about because Vida are a great young band.
They are indeed. They were our band of the year, our new band of the year, a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I was gutted not to see them. I wasn't able to get up here this morning. So tell me a bit about that gig.
Really good. Yeah, really good kids. I'm so wild. Anyway, no, they're really good. Really good band. Classic, traditional songwriting. And, you know, just in... although they're a Scottish band, I always think of them more in, like, the Liverpool tradition, very much like the Lars, the Coral, like, the kind of their... that in good songwriting and, you know, well-performed. There's no particular frills about it. There's nothing, you know, weird or different or... But yeah, what they do is excellent. They've got good traditional songwriting, really. So yeah, it's just a shame that sort of they've come around at the wrong time for that sort of band, really. But, you know, hopefully they said... I interviewed them earlier at their chalet, which was bizarre. And they're hopefully releasing an album next year. So, yeah, hopefully maybe if that gets a bit of traction for them, it'd be brilliant.
That'll be something to look forward to. And that is one of the things about Shine On, as well as the big headline bands from the 90s. They've created a bit of space for new bands that they think people coming to this will like.
Yeah, which is great, because, you know, it's easy to rely on nostalgia. It's almost like the conversation of when Noel Gallagher picks his set lists, right? Taking it back to Oasis. And Noel won't just rely on the Oasis classics. He will put the new songs in there. He'll put different things in there, put spins on the old songs. And it's like coming here, they could just pack it out with those names. And they don't. They do give space for those new bands. And also bands that you think, like Chameleons, right? And even Kingmaker that we've just seen, like, that, you know, you could have probably put a Northern Uproar in there or people that had more chart success in the mid-90s. But no, they've given these bands that maybe didn't quite get their moment in the sun or that, you know, that made it briefly but then didn't really break through. And, yeah, it's great. It's great for them to have this opportunity to play, you know, and get really good reception and people getting the chance to see them. It's great.
So you missed a great lineup last night.
Yes.
It started off with Chris Helm, and then Salad, My Life Story, Sleeper and Shed 7. I mean, fantastic. Sleeper could have headlined in their own right. I mean, that was such a good night.
Wow. I would have really wanted to see them, and I saw the sort of pictures and things. And Sleeper played a new song, right?
They did. They did indeed. In fact, a lot of the bands have been playing one or two new tracks. So I think they've got the balance just about right there.
Right.
Because you know, if you're still recording... still making music, you want people to have a chance to hear that, and this is an opportunity for a crowd that might not ordinarily be tuned onto that new music to do it, and playing one or two tracks doesn't switch them off, doesn't send everybody to the bar. I think that's a good way around. But look at you now. You're running out of things to wear. Still playing.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. I mean, I saw someone, I think it might have been me replying to you on Twitter about it, and like, about Sleeper playing a new track. And someone came back and said, oh yeah, because that's why people are going to Shine On, to hear new music. I said, well, yeah, fine. If Sleeper turned up and played, like, their whole new unreleased album, yeah, it wouldn't be ideal, because you're there to hear the hits, right? You're there to have a party and enjoy it. But actually, especially a band like Sleeper who haven't released any new material for, what, 22 years? So... brilliant, you know, absolutely fantastic to hear it, you know, and get that and have that first ever play. I'm not sure if they've been playing on the other dates they've played. So no, it was a real shame. Unfortunately, I wasn't. I was only able to come for today, but yeah, I think it's been a great weekend. And just to say, it was hilarious when because we were arranging to meet.
We were, yeah.
And you said, oh, I'm in a red check shirt, and so I was looking for you. I couldn't see you, and I wandered out. And I saw this guy in a red check shirt with like a bit of a beard and like an ear stud, who looked quite a neck tattoo. And obviously we've never met before, we've spoken before, and I thought, well, there's a guy in a red check shirt. So I strolled over to him. I said, hello mate, you Nick? He said, yeah, from the Britpop Revival show. And he sort of looked at me funny and went like, yeah. I said, alright, how's it going? And he was just really, he seemed quite stoned maybe, but he was just really quiet, and he was saying, yeah, yeah, it's alright. I said, oh, you just arrived here for Kingmaker, yeah? Yeah, 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 it's good. And I was just really confused. I thought, this isn't the voice I recognise from having been on your show before and listening to it. And then you stroll over. I said, you're right there, James. I was like, what? And this coach went, all right, mate, have a good night. See you later. So I wonder if he's just trying to wind me up or not. I've got no idea. But how bizarre was that?
That was a very strange experience. And I'm slightly flattered, to be perfectly honest by it. You know, the idea that there are Nick impersonators out there. I would strongly encourage people to do this.
Yeah, but actually, you know, with a beard and just completely different. That was so bizarre. But anyway, yeah, no. But it's been really good fun. And then we've got later on, we've got Ocean Colour Scene, we've got Black Grape, we've got the Rifles starting shortly, and and I'm hoping to grab a couple of other people that when people are listening to the podcast version of this, they will know who I ended up speaking to in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast continues to go from strength to strength. Who would have thought that you could find so many hundreds of hours worth of things to talk about Oasis without going back over old ground? But you're doing it, mate. You are you're killing it on the podcast.
Thank you very much. I suppose the difference is I try to not just be about Oasis all the time. Obviously, I've been very lucky that we've had new material and tours from Liam and Noel, but you know what we've done is sort of try to mix it up. So I'll do things with my friend Joel, who I'm here with today, where we sort of go through and do like Oasis knockout tournaments for songs, or then there's the where we'll go through like the Oasis A to Z. So we're going through each song individually, A to Z, and just really digging into them, you know, spending like half an hour, 40 minutes breaking down a song. And I'll do that whether it's with another musician or another writer or something like that. And so it's just, you get, because I don't think a lot of those songs, and I deliberately do it A to Z, because if you just said, oh, which one do you want to talk about, then everyone would pick Champagne Supernova or one of the really big ones, and then you're scrabbling around to find someone to talk about, you know, Better Man, which I am at the moment actually, so all those. But it's important because no one else has done it, when I'm looking around for information on these songs, there just isn't that much. So just thinking in posterity in the future, that people in the future, you know, when they're coming back to think about and read about Oasis, listen to, you know, talk about Oasis, then it will be, my podcast will be part of that canon of information. So it's cool, it's good. Similar to your fantastic radio show, in that, especially with all the interviews you've done and the great, you know, work you've done in sort of, I think, being a big part of this 90s / Britpop revival that we've been seeing over the last few years.
Yeah, well, in a way, it feels like we were slightly ahead of the game. So next week's show will be our 6-year anniversary.
Wow.
That does feel slightly weird. I'm starting to measure these things now in the age of my kids, which is which is how we're starting to do these things.
Hey, long live the UK music scene. Long live the UK music scene. Long live the UK music scene. Hey, hey. Each night I get down on my knees, sing Happy Birthday.
No, we're still having a lot of fun doing it, and it's still great interacting with the listeners. That's what makes it worth doing, really.
Yeah, definitely. That's for me is the big thing. I love the the back and forth on Twitter and different people in from different walks of life, and then, and saying it's the chance to have had this contact with these different people, some of my heroes or just really interesting people, and then getting the chance to hear, you know, like Anjali Dutt, right, who was the recording engineer and Definitely Maybe, she's now a maths teacher, or you know, and you know, and things like that, that you just think, wow, you know, all I've ever seen her before was like a couple of snippets on one Oasis documentary, whereas you're like, well, she was really important, you know, she was there helping craft Definitely Maybe, and yeah, and then so to get to do an hour, you know, just chatting to her about all the bizarre bits and pieces, the way her life's gone, it's great. And some people do criticize the podcast because I don't focus entirely on Oasis, and if I'm talking to someone, it might be 10 minutes of Oasis and then an hour of just their life. But that's why it is interesting, because you are hearing all these other stories about how the only thing that kind of brings all of my guests together is the fact that they've had some sort of interaction or inspiration from Oasis. But other than that, they're all kinds of walks of life, and it's, yeah. And so hence, that's why I think it remains interesting. And so people might not want to listen to it because you think, oh, it's just someone banging on about Oasis every week. But actually, there's a lot more to it. So Britpop Revival listeners should check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I highly recommend that. Okay, James, it's been a pleasure meeting up with you for the first time.
Yes,
having this chat. So I suggest we turn off this device and go and get a beer.
Sounds good. You have that you're not recording, it's just a complete waste of time. That's what I figured out so many times I've spoken to him. Anyway, so I'm here with Pete McLeod. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good, good. So you're living the rock and roll lifestyle here in a chalet in Butlins having a cup of tea.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. I'm not telling you what I did last night, but that's tonight. Yeah.
So when did you get down here?
Just got here about maybe 3 or 4 hours ago, I think.
Yeah.
My best mate Fergie. He's been doing the driving and stuff, so...
All right, Fergie, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
So, Fergie's the tour manager now, so make sure I behave.
That's why he's on the team.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just saying, it's so funny that, you know, I've come down here to the southwest of England and I've interviewed Vida from Alloa, and whereabouts are you from, Pete? Was it?
Well, I'm originally from Coatbridge, which is a kind of mining town, but 9 miles or something outside of Glasgow.
Yeah,
you know, so quite close to, Glasgow.
Coatbridge. Yeah. But how? So, what are you playing? You're playing tomorrow.
Playing tomorrow at 1:15, and it's called In the Green.
In on the Green.
In on the Green. Yeah. So that's tomorrow. Yeah, 1:15.
No, it should be good. So that's where we saw Vida earlier. Kingmaker, I've seen there. Just now, they're really good. It's a good little. It's like a pub, but you know, it's a really good good atmosphere in there.
Yeah, so. We've seen it. We went for a walk earlier, and it was really busy. You know, and it was a good sound coming out of the PA too. So I'm looking forward to it. We were supposed to be playing Sheffield last night. We came from Sheffield last night, but the gig postponed because the promoter was just kind of having a couple of personal kind of issues. So. It was best that he cancelled the gig anyway, so that was last night. So we stayed in Sheffield, we've came down to Minehead tonight for me to play tomorrow, and then after that I'm up to Manchester playing at Jimmy's in Manchester, which is a new venue opened in Manchester. It's supposed to be really good.
Cool.
And then on Tuesday, Newcastle, and I don't think I'll be playing any more shows now. 2018, that'll probably be the last gig, I think.
Okay.
You know. So yeah.
Yeah. And what's the latest with the new album?
It's doing well, you know, it's been well received, it's had good reviews, everybody's a critic today anyway, really, you know. So, but it's good. It's a positive feedback. I'm glad I'm really glad I've got three albums out.
Yeah,
when I think about that, you know, I kind of, yeah, it's pretty good. I didn't think I would, getting one album out today. You know what I mean? So three albums, I'm really chuffed with it. You know?
Yeah, and you crowdfunded that one, didn't you?
I did a Pledge Music, a lot of people invested in me to go to the studio and record and basically put the album out. From that, signed a distribution deal, worldwide distribution deal with Membran, which is a German company, and they put the record out, and that's it. It's been out, when did it come out? I can't remember, 28th of September it came out. So it's been out for a couple of months now, you know. I would imagine I'll probably be doing a lot of gigs next year to promote the three albums that I've released, you know. I'm meeting a couple of people in the industry as well while I'm doing these gigs too, some labels and some management as well. So it's a working kind of networking tour as well, you know, which is good. Kills two birds with one stone, doesn't it, you know.
Really liked about it, and we talked about it last time, that the album before was sort of very Balearic and quite experimental, and you know,
second
quite,
album,
the album before.
Crestfallen, yep.
Whereas now, it's gone more to like traditional, like singer songwriters.
Deliberately did not want to do repeat of the first album, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I could have done it quite easily, you know, but I think as an artist, as a songwriter, you know, for me anyway, I can only speak from my point of view, my perspective. You know, I wanted to push myself and do something different. And also, I listen to a lot of kind of chilled out music, you know, where a lot of chilled out music you would imagine listening to on the beach and stuff like that, you know, like Cafe Del Mar kind of stuff. And Youth was the perfect producer to work with for that. And, you know, obviously he'd done Urban Hymns, and he's worked with, you know, just did the Pink Floyd album just before I did that record, man. You know, and then after that, he seemed to be doing Shed 7 and, you know, a lot of people, we worked with a lot of people even after that record, but... You know, that's what Alan McGee said to me. Obviously, I know that you've done Urban Hymns and worked with the Verve, you know. But, you know, me and Alan sat down and we said, we don't want to make another Urban Hymns. We don't want to kind of go down that way. And I was quite happy because I wanted to make a different record from the first one. And the third album, Walk to the Light, is probably more of the first album. Yeah. But all three albums are different. I'm proud of them all, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy.
No, they're quality.
You know, thank you.
And is Alan, because Black Grape are on later, is Alan down? Because I saw Alan was with...
Alan DJed at my gig in London. He came and DJed at the gig when I played the Half Moon.
Yeah.
On the earlier dates that I did on this tour. And I speak to Alan every other day, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're good friends, you know.
I don't know if he's here tonight, actually, with Black Grape.
Well, I messaged him and says he thinks that his partner Simon's doing tonight with Black Grape, you know. Which, and indeed, Youth did that album. Youth did Black Grapes album too, which is fucking brilliant, man. You know, Youth's a genius. But so I think Simon will be here. His partner, you know, with Creation Management. So maybe I'll probably pop along and see Black Grape, and probably pop along and see Steve Craddock at Ocean Crossing.
Yeah, because you work with Steve.
So I'll maybe go along and see Steve, and his son's playing guitar now in Ocean Crossing, and Oscar's son Leon's playing percussion too.
Fantastic!
That's brilliant, man. New world for you.
Yeah. Well, what I really like about this, because I haven't done one of these before, right? And I was a bit sort of, because I've heard of the, you know, like people come and do, you know, the 70s ones, and I was thinking, you know, they seem a bit cheesy and
70s
like,
ones, but
yeah, you know, like here, like weekends or there's like the Rewind Festival and things like that, and I just
I'm impressed,
like,
man.
I think it's been great.
I'm impressed, man. Yeah. You know, like Gaz Whelan, the Happy Mondays drummer, is playing tomorrow in the same venue as me, and and I mean, we toured with the Happy Mondays. You know, I got on really well with guys. Mm. You know, I got on really well with all the Happy Mondays. They're a great band too, and lovely people. And obviously, Alan and Simon managed them too. And guys had said to me, "You're going to love this festival, Pete. It's quite, it's really chilled. People are there for the music.
Yeah,
nobody's falling about and making an arse of themselves, man. Which is fine too, man. Do you know what I mean? Whatever, you know."
Well, I thought it would be more of like a real nostalgia, you know, because the other things that have been like this sort of thing have been like very much nostalgia based.
Yeah.
Whereas here you've got like, it's much more about people that are really into their music.
Yeah.
So, you know, bands, you know, a lot of the bands that are playing like Chameleons and Kingmaker and Cud, and it's like, these are bands that never really made it. You know what I mean? They could have picked other bands that have been more successful in the mid 90s, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, with more pop hits and stuff, but they didn't. They've deliberately gone for like more, so you do get that different crowd. It's a crowd,
a good mix, man.
It really is.
So the crowd is a good mix.
Yeah, so you've got people that really appreciate music and really appreciate that. They might not be the most famous.
I was actually just saying, my mate there, Fergie, when we kind of parked up here, I don't think I played at a British festival since I played Tina Park in 2004. I'm trying to think. I played in German festivals, but I was just thinking that the day. I was like, I don't think I played a UK festival since 2004, and obviously it's 2018 now, man.
Why not?
Gatekeepers, man. You know what I mean? I think the whole industry suffers from that. You know, and you know, obviously I'm 40 now. You know, but you know, it's been 20 years I've been doing this. Mm. You know, and I've learned a lot and gained a lot of experience through it. But you know, that's probably the hardest thing for any young artist coming through. Is basically just be given the opportunity and platform, man. I personally think you know, a lot of bigger artists would, you know just to say I'm talking shit, you know what I mean, but I think that bigger artists and known artists have got a responsibility in music too. You know, if you're going to talk down about X Factor and say it's shit or whatever, you know, you know, and I agree with that, you know, I don't, you know, there is better ways of getting out there, but not if people aren't going to give you the chance, man, and the opportunity to do that. And I think that, you know, they should be helping young artists come through, man.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
And I do that, and I'm not a massive artist, man, you know, but I help when I can, man, you know.
Little support slots.
Yeah, a little step. But everyone started from somewhere, man.
Yeah.
Everybody has, you know. Yeah. And, you know, there's no... I think the more people are selfish, music doesn't benefit from that, man. Mm. You know, the dance scene's not like that. The dance DJs and stuff like that, they help each other, you know. Yeah. But a guitar band should be doing the same, man. I'm not saying everyone does that. You know, like Rick Witter, I supported Shed 7 at the Barrowlands, and he liked my song, Rolling Stone, and he personally phoned me up, man, and he played me on his radio show, and he phoned me up and says, like 2 days before it, do you want to come and support me at the Barrowlands? You know, and I was like, oh, that's really lovely, man. So he's sound as a pint.
Yeah, he's been on the...
And he was playing last night, man. So that was great. As I said, I'm not saying it's everybody, but I think the more people that can help that. It'll be healthier for the music.
Exactly.
It'll be more helpful for a younger Peter McLeod at 18 instead of this, you know.
Mm.
You know, basically that's why I haven't played a lot of festivals in the UK, because it's cliquey.
Yeah, well it's like you know Simon Mason.
I do.
Yeah, do you know him? Because he's was really...
Is that High Town Pirates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you
Simon's know... Great. Man, he sent me his book. Great. He sent me his book.
Yeah, and, great book, great guy, you know, and, you know, great band. And if that had been a new band, they, you know, if they would have been 18...
But it's money too, man, you know, like, look, I toured with his Stripes 4 years
just
ago.
Just split up.
And that's what I was going to say, I toured with him. And they got quite a lot of money, man. Yeah. Elton John's management, Rocket Management managed them. And they've split up, you know. And so, if that doesn't send out a message for young artists and older artists, I don't know what will, man. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, give people a chance.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
They were. I tell you what. I remember first seeing them. I think it was Jules Holland.
Yeah, great band.
Baby, please, if you could see, then you'd agree.
Especially they looked, I think they were about 17. Yeah. They looked about 12.
Yeah, man.
And I was like, geez, who are these kids? It was like a Young Animals or something, you know?
Yeah, that's it. And Dr. Feelgood, when we played with them in Germany, I played with them with my band, and we did 3 dates, Cologne, Hamburg and Berlin. And one of the shows in Cologne was getting televised with Rock Palast, which is basically like, kind of like the old Grey Whistle test in Germany, man, you know. And so the TV cameras were there and stuff, and that was great, man. I had a great time with the kids, man. And Josh came on stage and played with us.
Brilliant.
Played one of my songs, I Need Your Love, which is the first song on my new album. Mm. And great, man, you know. Yeah. More of that, you know.
No, I agree. And I think one of the good things they've done here is that they have given the space for, like, you know, smaller bands like Vida, or people like yourself that aren't from the 90s, you know, have got that sound and would fit in with the other bands around it.
That's the thing, and although, like,
they didn't need to do that, you know?
I mean, Steve that booked me to play here, you know, and Steve came and see me and Steve Craddock playing together in London, and, you know, and I think when I see him tonight or tomorrow, you know, I'll make a point of telling him that he's done really well with us.
Yeah.
I think it's great, man.
It's a great festival.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's set up for it. Everything's here already, isn't it? So it's good, but it's very shrewd business, man. It's good, great. Man.
It's brilliant.
You know?
Yeah. And I think they were actually the people that did Rewind, I think.
Is that
the Rewind Festival in Henley. Yeah. And then I think, because that's the thing, I think it's great that they've got people like Sleeper, right, that haven't played for 22 years.
That's brilliant, isn't it, man?
You know, to get them back out is fantastic. Yeah, blowing the
cobwebs away now, man.
Yeah, because then they can get, you know, and there's plenty of other people that, you know, I just saw Kingmaker.
Yeah.
And someone like Kingmaker, you know, they never really had, you know, they were in that sort of pre-Britpop period, but they never, yeah, they were pretty big indie scene, you know, proper old school indie scene.
Uh-huh.
But they never really had that Britpop kick like the Oasis and the Blurs and the Pulps and the Sheds, because they were just before it, around that Ride and around that sort of
time. But that's another thing as well, though. I think Steve has a partner too, you know, I'm sure. But I know obviously Steve's a fan of that kind of
that
music. And obviously you are, and I am too, and a lot of people are, you know, so it's like, you know, I guess everything has to kind of have a label so people know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to Ozzy Osbourne's festival, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
You're not going to get Sleeper playing there, man.
Yeah, I know, and I think calling it Shine On is good, because it's not Britpop. It's not a Britpop revival festival because you've got stuff that's not necessarily Britpop.
And the first song on my album, I sing Shine On.
Yeah. Here we are. Well, you've got your stuff. You've got like House of Love, Shine On. You've got obviously the fact it's got like, you know, Shine and like.
We were listening to that last night.
Wait, House of Love?
Shine
On.
Yeah. What were you saying, Fergie? You weren't saying that. What were you singing? You were singing Shine On. You were cuckoo something. You can sing in the walrus to it, man. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Something like that. You went away, man.
Well, I've got.
That was the rum you were drinking last night. Professional tour manager over there, man.
My band had a song called Shine On, and that's what I play at the start of the podcast. So I don't actually play the full song. That's a song called Shine On as well. So it's like, it's quite nice for me, and my mate who I'm here with was in the band and wrote the song Shine On. It's just something about that, and it is, you know, it's getting, you know, I know you're a deep thinker, Pete, and like,
I think you are
in your songwriting and stuff.
Is that a good thing?
I'd say you are.
I penetrate my mind, man. I'm a deep thinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think what you get, what comes across on Twitter as well, is you're a very peaceful person, and you like always trying. You're not sort of sniping at people online. You understand the social media game.
Oh, I've had my but moments. You're really positive. Everyone's kind of had their moments, man. You know, no one's perfect. And I wouldn't sit here and say I'm hard, but I believe in peace. I believe in love.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's me.
Mm.
I'd rather believe in that than go about fighting people and talking shit to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's enough of that going on, man.
Yeah.
That's why I do music. The connection too. You know? Yeah.
Peace and love.
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, you're here for a good time, not a long time.
Exactly.
You know, that's why I liked John Lennon. That's why I like the Beatles. You know what I mean? Mm. Because everything was peace and love, they said it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, that's what it all comes down to, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Just quickly, have you heard the Beatles, the remastered White Album?
I haven't. I've seen Andy Bell, who I'll sell that. He plays on the last song on my new album,
Solidada.
And he was talking to me about it, you know, that it's great. He wasn't talking about it, he put up something on Instagram and Twitter, and I said, that's great. I think he was doing some kind of talk about it.
Yeah, with Giles Martin, who produced it.
And I said to him,
yeah,
that's great, and he's like, cheers, you know, Pete, and I was like, that's great. Brilliant, man.
Top man.
He's a great guy, Andy Bell, man.
Yeah.
Andy Bell. I actually sent him a couple of your podcasts.
Oh, did you?
And
okay.
He forwarded them on to Game as well. Sort of listen to some of the stuff you've done. I've forwarded it on.
Oh,
that's another thing,
kind,
on all, man.
You.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, helping out.
Yeah, man.
Dickheads like me.
Yeah, well, I would say helping out dickheads like me. It's just, that's what it's about, man. Do you know what I mean?
I appreciate that, mate.
No need to be fucking pretentious, man, and think you're something you're not really, man. Do you know what I mean? Because we all fucking go the same way, man. Do you know what I mean?
We're all just hanging out in Butlins, drinking tea on a Saturday night.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed with here, man. We got here, and I'm like, this is cool. I like it.
Spot on.
Yeah.
You're going to be like turning up at these shitty venues with like one crappy room backstage. You're like, this is crap. I had a TV, I had a tea making facilities.
I've been doing this for a while now, and I've played in shit venues, and I've played in great venues. I've played in front of hardly anybody, and I've played in front of 5,000 people. Do you know what I mean? So. It's part of getting yourself out there and enjoy. As long as you're enjoying what you're doing, man.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to put out a third album, you know, in last year, you know, because I thought two albums is enough, man. And I'm just going to keep playing the albums I've got, because that's 20 songs worth of material, which is, it's a good bit on stage, man. You know, but I've done the third album. It's out. I don't know if we'll make another one. I actually feel content with three albums, man.
Yeah.
I felt content with
like
two.
Like a trilogy.
Yeah, because that's the things that people are saying on my Facebook. They're like, what's the word for that? No, when you've got your past material.
Yeah.
What would you call it? What's the word for
back
that?
Back catalogue.
Yeah, and they said, you know, your back catalogue's great, Pete. And I'm like, that's a bit naive, back catalogue, man. I've only got three albums. It's not like 33. but I guess it is a back catalogue.
But a lot of great bands only made three albums.
I mean,
Pistols made one.
The Stone Roses back catalogue's fucking phenomenal, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
One album.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But I would like to think I've made three good albums, man.
Definitely.
And I'd rather than making a shit album. You know what I mean? But again, it's all fucking perception anyway, man. I'm happy with what I do, man. And that's, for me, I don't give a fuck after that.
Yeah.
I'm happy with me.
That's
what I was saying to Alan McGee. He's like, how you doing? I'm like, great. I'm really enjoying my music. I feel as if I'm in the form of my life. And I'm really happy. I'm happy with me, you know? And he's like, that's fucking brilliant.
That's
if you could be happy with you, you've fucking done it, man, you know? And I'm like, I felt like that for a wee while now.
Yeah.
So I don't really... I don't need to go out fucking shouting at people and try to start fights, man. You know, I'm pretty confident in my abilities, man. And I'm not arrogant. I wasn't allowed to be arrogant by my parents the way I was brought up. And I'm Scottish. I don't think Scottish people are arrogant, man.
No.
I don't think we are, you know what I mean?
No.
I think we could be cynical people, you know, but in West of Scotland, you know. But I think in general, man, you know, we're really kind of humble, man.
Yeah.
That's what I think, man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's my opinion.
Cool. Good. All right. Well, I'll call it there, man. But good luck for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And and we'll see you anon.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Good to see you. Good to finally meet you.
Right. Cool. Thank you. So let's just recap then. So we had the Vida. Make sure you're checking those guys out at We Are Vida, and their stuff's all on Spotify and YouTube and stuff. So great band. Make sure you check them out. And there was also Nick from the Britpop Revival show. And make sure you check out the Britpop Revival show, which is available
Wednesdays at, what is it, 6 p.m. I think. It's normally when I'm sorting my kids out, so I often, like, it's tricky. But you can always download it afterwards. So, yeah, make sure you check out that. And follow Nick at Britpop Revival. And then we had Pete McLeod, who is at Pete McLeod, which is M-A-C-L-E-O-D. So, yeah, check him out on the internet. Lovely guy. And, yeah, brilliant musician. And, yeah, it was great. It was really nice to catch up with these guys. Although it did mean I missed a bunch of bands. So, as I say, I was only there for the day. And thank you very much. It was Shine On Festival got in touch. And sort of I was there on a freebie, on a day ticket, on the press pass, which was really, really nice. So shout out to Shine On Festival for sorting me out. But, yeah, doing those interviews meant I spent quite a bit of time outside wandering around trying to find chalets and then interviewing these people, and so it means I missed a bunch of bands. I mean, the biggest one I missed was the Rifles, which was really annoying because I really wanted to see the Rifles. But a friend of the show, Joel, who came along, he saw them and told me they're really good, so they went down very well apparently, so that was good. A couple of the bands I did catch, I caught Kingmaker, who was a name I was aware of but I never really dug into, and they were really good. I did enjoy them. Caught a bit of Cud on the main stage, and Twisted Wheel, of course, who are a great band. You know, we've talked to Johnny before, so we heard a little bit there. So the main sort of headline acts were Black Grape and Ocean Colour Scene. So we caught Black Grape, and we played a little bit of Kelly's Heroes there. That was a great tune. But just before I went to see Black Grape, I caught up with Chris Hutton. Now, Chris Hutton is a name that, if you're an Oasis historian, you will know, because he was the original singer in the band The Rain, along with Tony Gwiggs and Boned, before Liam came in, and basically they kicked him out for Liam. And yeah, he's on Twitter, and I've had a few messages back and forth with him. I've begged him to come on the show, and he won't do it. He basically is just very happy living his life, wants nothing to do with Oasis or any of that stuff anymore. I've said, look, Chris, there's so many people out there that, you know, even if you've got old set lists or if you've got old recordings, you know, there's a market for this stuff. Oasis have never been bigger than right now. But he said, do you know what? I'm not interested. I love my life. I love my family. I go to football. I go to gigs. That's what I'm into. I don't want to have anything to do with that whole side of it. That was a lifetime ago to him. So, yeah, it's a shame. But anyway, I saw on social media that he was going to the Shine On. So I dropped him a message and said, look, I'd love to come and have a chat with you. Did try and sort of sneakily get him to record, but he wasn't having it. I also did say, oh, would you mind just recording me a little message? Wasn't having it. But he was really nice. He was there with his wife. We had a quick chat. And yeah, he's basically very happy in his life. He's self-employed. He's got his own company, which gives him the ability to, as I say, go around the world watching his favourite football team, which is Man United, and watching gigs. He loves, you know, all the old Manchester bands that you'd imagine. And he was just a lovely, sound guy. He took his time out of his day to talk to me. Got a photo with him, which I've put up on the social medias. And yeah, really nice to talk to him. It's just such a shame that he's not going to do any interviews because, you know, he's just not interested. But anyway, Chris, if you listen to this, which you won't be, thank you very much. It was great to speak to you. And hopefully one day I'll get you to sit down in front of a microphone, because we need to hear your stories, man. Yeah. And also, if you get a bit skint, go through your loft, because Brian Garcia and Rob from the Britpop store will be fighting over anything you've got up there, I imagine. Anyway, so that was probably the most exciting thing, was getting to meet Chris. And then the headliners were Ocean Colour Scene. So let's have a little bit of that. Anyway, that'll do it for today. So thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. And as always, a special thanks always go to our patrons who put your money where your mouth is. So your support is greatly, greatly appreciated. You can become a patron and support the show from as little as $1 per month at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I also post articles occasionally and separate episodes. And I will be posting a separate episode around about Christmas time as well over there. I'm going to do like my sort of musical journey, I think I'm going to do. I'm going all the way back to like pre-Britpop and the stuff I was listening to. So if you think that would be interesting to you, go and check that out. I might also do sort of a non-Oasis stuff, so like my films of the year, TV of the year, that sort of thing. So yeah, so if you want to get involved and have a listen to that, then do head over to Patreon and check it out. Do follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me at oasispod@gmail.com. And as I said, I'm going to do a sort of Christmas special episode and I'd love to get some messages to play. So if you love the show or if you've got some highlights for the year, maybe just record me a little audio message and drop it over oasispod@gmail.com. T-shirts and other merch with the Oasis podcast logo are available at TeePublic, and I do really appreciate it if you can subscribe and review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
shining on.